This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Amber Falls Winery and Cellars, situated close to the Natchez Trace National Parkway, is just 17 minutes away from the town of Hohenwald and an hour and a quarter to downtown Nashville. In addition to a tasting room with retail sales, outdoor live music events scheduled throughout the year at the winery, there's also cottages available for overnight stays. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a visit with the owner of Amber Falls Winery, Tim Zondbricker. If you can't make it out to the winery, not a problem, as they recently opened a second tasting room in Nashville at Opry Mills Mall.
Tim Zondbricker. This is Amber Falls Winery and Cellars here in Hampshire, Tennessee.
So how did you get here to Tennessee? And you were up on a hilltop.
Yeah, we're up here on the top of the hill. Actually, I tell people I took a left when I should have taken a right. But it's a beautiful area. And when my wife and I decided we were going to relocate, we searched all over Middle Tennessee, actually, for several years before we found this place.
What were you looking for?
When we began our trip, we were going to build a retreat center, which is one of the reasons we're so far out in the country. The retreat center turned into a winery.
And how did that happen?
Now, that's a really good question. I think my wife still asks me quite often how that happened. But we liked the farming aspect. We planted some vines and grapes, and all of a sudden here we have a winery.
Did somebody, a friend of yours, somebody come along and plant the seed?
I guess the biggest attraction was, well, first of all, there was another group that had moved up here and they were opening a winery, a small winery, about the same time. But I think the biggest thing was is that when we did some research, we found that family wineries were one of the most long-lasting family types of business in the U.S., and that something at the time, something like 93% of all wineries in the U.S. were family-owned and generational. I guess that was the biggest attraction, was that this was something we could do with and for our family.
So maybe part of it is just finding your way, too. It takes a whole first generation to dial in the right growing practices, the right varietals, come to maturity.
Right, and more right. Yeah, we've made lots of mistakes. We tried to do some things that some of the old timers in this area said can't be done, and they were right. But we have found some things that we can do that people said, oh, you probably never do. So we've done a little bit of both. We've struggled really hard. It's really difficult here. But we've tried to be very sustainable in our practices. In this area, we can't be organic. I mean, and grow grapes. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But we've struggled mightily to be at least sustainable, use pure water, return pure water, all those types of things, and watch the chemicals that we use, try to use organic pesticides and those types of things.
So what varietals so far in your life are ideal, that you're most proud of, that work best here?
We have a couple of them that work really, really well, and one of them is called Chamberson, and it's a French-American hybrid. It makes a nice, really red, dry wine. And we can grow it here, and it makes a much better wine than we tasted in other areas. When we began our study, we traveled Pennsylvania's, the Virginia's, the whole eastern U.S. wine culture. And what we have found, because of the types of soil we have here, we have, first of all, what they call chert. It's kind of like iron, rock, clay
So that's pretty good.
Well, it works pretty well. But the bigger thing is that it's very fertile. You know, this whole area here had phosphate mines up until, actually, until about the early 60s. So the ground actually is rocky, but it's fertile. So it works really well. So the Chamberson has probably been our biggest success. And we've had a couple of the varieties that come and go. We do a Blanc du Bois, which is a fairly new variety. It's a white variety that was actually developed to grow on the Gulf Coast. We liked it so much, but we are the only growers that are trying to grow it this far north, and we do have winter damage problems with it.
Interesting. And another?
Those are the two main. We grow several other whites. We have a couple of red hybrids that we're working with. Some are working better than others, and some of them we're just having to learn how to trellis, how to harvest, all those things. Each one of them takes a little bit different practice. In this area, most people grow muscadine, which is the typical Southeast U.S. Grape. We don't grow any because the truth is I can purchase them very cheap. There's a lot of, you know, Tennessee growers here, so we purchase those. We're trying to grow the things that no one else is growing around here.
And what's in your brain cooking on a idea, a dream, something you'd like to try?
A grape that I'd like to try? Well, you know, there are some hybrids that are coming out that I think we would like to try out here. One of the things that we're always looking at is something that makes a good dry red. And right now we have two varieties that are hybrids. One is a Cabernet hybrid, and the other one is a Zinfandel hybrid. We're having to find the correct trellis system for those. So right now, my dream is to get those producing like they should.
Is there a consistent, general consistency to your alcohol levels of your end product?
Our dry reds, we have from 14.5% to 17% on our dry reds.
You got some rocket fuel.
Yeah, we have. Well, we have one of them that we actually age in bourbon barrels.
Oh, wow.
So it's it just really, really was. But our Cab, Merlot, Syrahs, those kind, all average around 15.5%, 16%.
The white?
In the whites, we're all at about 12%.
Okay.
Even our sweet wines, even our fruit wines are all average about 12%.
So we were on a long drive to come out and see you today.
Yeah.
So people that come here, they have to want to come here. They don't drive by accident.
Not very often. You're correct about that. Of course, coming down the trace, you almost have to know we're here. Our main areas, obviously, is right here in our general area, and it comes from the Nashville area and from Florence, Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama. Those are our big draw areas.
And how do they find out about you? Mostly word of mouth?
Word of mouth, social media. We do a lot of events, do a lot of live music events out here.
Yeah, I thought you had a circus starting today out front.
Well, that tent is still up because we have outdoor bar services and stuff like that, particularly during this time.
Winter.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Well, you know.
You keep going.
Yeah. My bills keep going, too.
So, obviously, the summer and fall would probably be the most popular time for people coming to see you.
Correct. But we do have several winter events where we'll have once or twice a month, we'll have music, we'll have events, and people actually come out. Of course, we have heaters and things, but people will come out with their blankets around them, enjoy our wine, enjoy our music, enjoy the food that we have out here.
How many miles from Nashville and how many miles from Huntsville?
From Nashville, we're about 65 miles. From Huntsville, 75 miles. From Florence, about 65 miles. The other closer towns, Columbia, which is a fairly nice-sized city, we're only about 20 miles from Columbia.
Okay. And I saw some cute little guest cottages coming in.
Is that part of the operation? Right, the guest cottage, and we rent that on a fairly regular basis.
So are there people that might come to the guest cottage that don't even drink?
Yes, actually, surprisingly, that happens. Mm-hmm. People just like to come. They're out in the middle of the vineyard. They're in the country, and we provide them, you know, breakfast foods and that type of stuff.
So they'll go on hikes and stuff like that?
Yes, yeah. A lot of them bike riders like this area.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. We have to go see an elephant.
Yeah, good, good, yeah.
So it's been a pleasure, and thank you for taking the time.
Speaking of that, the elephants at the Elephant Sanctuary eat our vines. When we prune our vines, we feed them to the elephants. Uh-huh. They say the elephants like them as candy.
There you go. That's cool. I like it. Okay, if somebody wanted to learn more about your world.
Certainly, they could go and look us up, AmberFallsWinery.com. We also have Facebook pages. And I'm Tim Zonbrecher. This is Amber Falls Winery.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Tennessee. We'll see you here.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
The Amber Falls audio feature is the eighth in a series showcasing Nashville's big backyard, encompassing a natural watershed region that winds through the Natchez Trace National Parkway in Tennessee's southwest quarter down to northern Alabama's Shoals region.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.
I'll be turning 33 next Friday morning. Friday morning 15 years ago, my grandfather called me to his bedside, and he told me there was something I should know. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying. The land will save you, wait and see. So I loaded up my car and moved to Denver to work a job and chase big city dreams. But I never found the life I really wanted till I came back home to Leaper's Fork, Tennessee. He said, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying. The land will save you, wait and see. It didn't hit me quite as hard then as those words come through today, but in the chaos all around me,
can still hear Grandpa say, don't stray too far from the land, boy. The land will one day set you free. When the cities all are dying, the folks up there are crying, the land will save you, wait and see.